Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Harold Wong and Edwin Yuen, Director of Cloud and Virtualization Strategy at Microsoft, kick off their new series today as they discuss the latest announcements made by VMware. Tune in as they chat about vSphere 5.1's features and pricing model, and how this stacks up to Windows Server 2012. Harold, the mic is yours.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of TechNet Radio. I'm Harold Wong with Microsoft. I'm an IT evangelist here in the U.S., based out of Phoenix, Arizona. And with me today, I have Edwin Yuen. So Edwin, say hello and do a quick introduction of yourself.
Sure. My name is Edwin Yuen. I'm the Director of Cloud and Virtualization Strategy at Microsoft. And I actually came from another company called Softricity, a little virtualization company that developed the AppV technology that many of you see on the desktops today.
Awesome. So welcome, Edwin. And in this episode, I just want to talk about one topic, right? I know usually we might cover a couple of different topics, but with VMworld that just occurred not too long ago, I wanted to kind of pick your brain and get your thoughts and what our stance was around Windows Server 2012 stuff and the stuff that VMware just announced and kind of just go into that. Is that okay with you?
No, absolutely. Let's go for it.
Okay, so I know there was a bunch of announcements around like vSphere 5.1, some enhancements to their product line. If you can just take a few minutes and kind of share what your thoughts are, what those announcements mean to people who are looking at Server 2012 and Hyper-V especially, I'd really appreciate it.
Well, I mean, they made a couple announcements. In terms of the core vSphere product, the hypervisor, there was really two announcements. One was technical and one was non-technical. On the non-technical end, they switched their pricing back to the old style per CPU pricing, which is what Windows Server 2012 does. And I'm not surprised. The per RAM, the consumption calculated, setting up and figuring out how many VMs ran, which that was a bit of a mess. So that was, you know, it's good for consumers. And I think it really does align back with that model that Windows Server 2012, System Center 2012, and that we've been talking about for the last several years. On the technical side, vSphere 5.1 has some new features, but it wasn't really nearly the potential like a vSphere 6 that some people were thinking about. It seemed more of some, you know, a dot release, which really is. And even some of the technologies they had demonstrated in previous years didn't even show up in 5.1. I think it's going to take a little bit more time for them to deliver. The big thing is that they've really gotten some enhanced levels of scale. Actually mirroring those that Windows Server 2012 has. So they've moved up to, they have a terabyte of memory for each VM, but they've now moved to 64 cores per processor. They've added some features like a shared nothing live migration like Windows Server 2012 has, and another, you know, other smaller features that they've had added around. So it's an enhancement in scale, an enhancement in some, you know, other features. There's a new version of VMFS. There's the ability to update VMs with new VM tools. They have some limited SI or IOV support, but it wasn't like going from 4 to 5, but it is certainly some enhancements, a lot of which to try to line up with what Windows Server 2012 has.
So around the hypervisor piece, it's still a requirement though that you're at vSphere 5.1. It's not the fact that it's the ESXi component that can support 64 virtual processors and a terabyte of RAM, correct?
It is strange. I mean, for those who really haven't looked into it, in the past with ESXi 4, the free hypervisor was essentially same function, right? It had some limitations, but a lot of customers did run that and then either add management on top or, you know, they run small and medium businesses. When they moved ESXi to 5, when they added the VRAM restrictions, they actually added a restriction that you couldn't use more than 32 gigabytes of RAM on an ESXi box. We moved to 5.1 and they got rid of VRAM, but they actually didn't get rid of that limitation. So on ESXi, you can only run 32 gigabytes worth of VMs at all. So, I mean, if you look at a modern day system, you're running 4 to 8 gigabytes of VM, you're not talking about a lot of use. So I'm not going to see that much of use of the free hypervisors like it than we did in the past, I think.
Okay. Yeah, that's, and I know that was always, when I look at people who are comparing and talking about, well, in VMware, you can do this, And in Windows Server, you can only do this, right? Or now you can definitely do these big scale machines, yet we're still not necessarily comparing apples to apples, right? Because we're talking about the core hypervisor on Microsoft doing all of these pieces, so long as you're using data center, admittedly, right? Not standard of server. But
Well,
even the, oh, go ahead.
actually, it's fairly interesting. For Windows Server 2012, we've done a couple different things. Well, first of all, I always like to tell people we didn't make 2012 to catch up to VMware. In fact, I think in many cases we leapfrogged VMware, and now VMware is catching up to us a little bit. One big change that we made is that from a licensing point of view, there's two SKUs, standard and data center, but they're functionally identical. So you don't even have to buy data center in order to get specific functions. All that scalability, the terabyte of RAM, the 64 vCPUs, all that's available for standard or for data center. All you really have to do between the two is, whether if you're going to do a lot of virtualization, you buy data center, you get unlimited rights to use Windows Server and all your VMs on the single box.
Oh,
And
so even
so.
in standard edition of Server 2012, I can have 4 terabytes of physical RAM and 320 logical processors, and it would see it. And I can create all the VMs I want, provided I have licensing for that.
Correct. You can create the clusters, you can create the high availability. That is a change. So they're functionally identical from a technical aspect. That's something to keep in mind. What we're offering is one that's really designed for either physical or low virtualization, just a couple of VMs. But if you're doing more than just a couple of VMs, you buy data center and then you don't even count them. For every VM that you're running on that physical box, you get unlimited use rights for Windows Server on that box. But I don't want to forget also that we have a free hypervisor. I think a lot of people don't know that. We have a hypervisor called Microsoft Hyper-V Server. And Microsoft Hyper-V Server has all the scale and functionality that standard or data center have. What it doesn't have is it doesn't have Windows. So you can't run AD on it. It could join an AD domain, but you can't make it an AD server. It doesn't have IIS on it. It doesn't have anything. All it can do is run Hyper-V. So it's really stripped down core. Doesn't really even have a graphical user interface. All it has is PowerShell and a very simple text command interface. But that's great for companies that have maybe other operating systems. Linux distributions would be a good example. It really allows you to choose whatever flavor of Hyper-V you like, the standalone free, standard, or data center. They all have the same functionality, same tools, same configurations, all can be centrally managed.
Okay, yeah, so that's definitely a good thing for everybody to understand, right? And that's why I wanted to bring up the VMware comparison, right? And some of the announcements that were made at VMworld, because a lot of people don't seem to understand it's not really apples to apples. I want to touch on one more thing on this episode, and you brought up the licensing piece from VMware, that they took away the VRAM piece. But I've heard, and I know you're not speaking on behalf of VMware or anything, but there was scuttlebutt about the fact that that entitlement piece only goes away for new customers. I mean, did you hear anything otherwise?
I hate going into too much licensing legalese. As best as we can tell, and it's an interpretation. It's for new customers on 5.1 or who are upgrading from 4X to 5.1. I think the argument can be made that if for customers who are already have paid for the software or have an existing licensing agreement, they would be under the existing terms. I'm not sure if they're going to retroactively reset it for 5.0. It's a good question. The VRAM entitlements was just it was a difficult thing for a lot of customers. And I know all of them are looking for, from a CPU point of view. So we're going to go ahead and see. But based on what we read, I think that would make some sense from a corporate legal aspect. I don't know if it makes that much sense from an IT pro aspect, but that's it may just be the way it is.
Okay. Oh no. So I mean, I appreciate you taking the time. It sounds like the announcements were kind of what we probably expected. They needed to do some stuff to catch up with us, like you said. And I guess you summed it up, right? It was kind of a flat kind of announcement VMworld this year. I haven't heard a lot of talk from my buddies that do a lot of VMware either, so.
Yeah, I mean, there was other things that they could have brought out, but I mean, it wasn't of this gigantic scale. It's multi times what they did 4 years ago, but it's not multiple times what they did in a year. But I think what everyone should understand is, if you look at the game now and you look at all the comparisons, We're confident. You take a look that Windows Server 2012 and Hyper-V and System Center against their management tools, we're going to have, you know, equal or better in almost every category. And there's going to be certain features that I think are either unique to the Microsoft solution or are built in, easy to use, something you don't have to add on. It's not terribly complicated stuff that's just kind of built in the operating system. You know, and that, you know, I'd encourage people to go ahead and just give it a try. You can get the evaluations for Windows Server 2012, or like I said, you could just download the free Hyper-V and try it for yourself. What we found is people who actually try it, use it, work with it, are extremely happy with it and really kind of see for themselves, you know, what the power is and what the comparisons are.
Okay, no, awesome. I thank you for taking some time and kind of just sharing your thoughts and letting us know what you thought about the announcements and kind of clarifying a few of the comparison pieces. So I don't know if you have any other final comments. I know this is a short session, but this was the only topic I really wanted to talk about in this session.
Again, the big thing, try for yourself. You know, I think for many of us, you know, I've been an IT pro many years, didn't always work at Microsoft. You know, you get your hands on it, you try it, you don't have to listen to the critics, you don't have to listen to the online people. You get it on your machine, you get it on your system, you give it a try, you play with it yourself. Then, you know, the evaluations come out, and that really gives everybody not only great confidence, but you can make your own decisions. And I think everyone will be really happy with what they see with Windows Server 2012.
Perfect. Well, thank you again, Edwin, for your time. And with that, we'll go ahead and bring a close to this particular TechNet Radio episode. Thanks, and join again in the future.